What's up, soccer fans? Welcome to the inaugural new weekly recap coming at you every single Monday night. Yours truly, Mike Guglielmi, Sons of a Pitch, Soccer Central, your host. We've got some CONCACAF Champions League games to talk about this week. What's up, everybody? Brand new segment here on Sons of a Pitch, Soccer Central. We are no longer doing the regular podcast episodes, but we're going to be uploading these weekly recaps as to take place of the regular podcast episode. So this episode here, we're going to talk about all seven, yes, seven, not eight, CCL quarterfinal match or round of 16 matchups that were played last week. We're going to maybe talk a little bit about the second legs as well and what to expect there. But this episode is going to be a little bit shorter than normal. Normally, we're going to have, you know, 13, 14 MLS games to talk about for every single week. My expectation is usually about 25 to 30 minutes per show on these weekly recaps. All right, guys, smash that like button down below. Hit that subscribe button as well. Turn on that bell so you don't miss any of our awesome soccer content. And let's start talking about it. Let's start with New York City, your reigning MLS Cup champions. They went to Costa Rica and laid a beatdown on Santos de Guadalupe at the Estadio Nacional de Costa Rica. Working on my Spanish here a little bit, guys, if you couldn't tell. But no, we got New York City. What a dominant performance. Absolutely dominant performance. Two goals in this one, both by your Golden Boot winner, Tati Castellanos. This guy, he is unreal. Lots of talk about him moving in this offseason. It didn't get done. Now there's rumblings it may happen in the summer. The price has got to be right for New York City, and I don't know if anybody's going to be able to match that, because I don't know if teams are going to give up close to $20 million in a transfer fee for Tati. We'll see, but he had a penalty kick in the 5th minute, and then in the 30th minute, a beautiful goal, and that's all she wrote. 2-0, two away goals. I mean, New York City is in the driver's seat with their return leg in L.A. at LAFC Stadium, Bank of California Stadium, because they can't play at home. It's the only thing holding this team back in the Champions League, at least in my opinion. Looking at the stats in this one, New York City, 60% possession to 40 against for Santos. Total shots, 15 for NYC, 11 for Santos. Shots on goal, 6-1. A dominant performance by New York City. This game was never in doubt. Block shots, 2 for New York City, 3 for Santos. Total passes, 570-370. Passing accuracy, almost a 12% gap at 88%-76%. Crazy, the domination. I mean, I watched this game and it was not even close, this matchup. And I don't expect the second leg to be close at all. So, sorry, NYC fans, I won't be doing this one as my live for the CCL legs number 2. Only going to do one live for the CCL leg 2 because I've got 4 lives coming up on MLS opening weekend, which is just a week away. By the time the next weekly recap we do, we'll be reviewing all of that MLS action from opening weekend. I can't friggin' wait. And if you can't wait as well, let me know down in the comments if you're excited for MLS season to start. All right, now, looking at some of the other stats here, corner 6-4 for Santos is probably the only stat they got. Duels won 52-46, fairly even. And New York City actually had more clearances. And then the big one, the red card to Santi Rodriguez, did pick up a red in this one, so he'll be unavailable in that second leg, but it doesn't matter. I don't think it really matters at all. In that second leg is pretty much done with NYC having those 2 away goals. All right, now let's move to the next game up, the game that we were live for, Santos Laguna of Mexico against Montreal, the Impact. CF Montreal, a heartbreaking loss for Montreal. This was actually a great game. A very, very good game. Montreal had a goal called back in like the 6th minute. Very, very disappointing. I disagree with the call. It was a foul, but I think that's something that should have been called in regular time, and it was not. I hate seeing a goal taken away, especially when, you know, you're playing in CCL on the road in Mexico against an informed team. Well, not informed, but they're in pretty bad form in League MX. But as far as being in the middle of their season, Montreal still technically in the preseason here. This is their first competitive match. I hate to see a team lose a goal like that. But Osejo with the goal in the 88th minute. There is something about Liga MX and MLS teams, and those Liga MX sides always seem to score those late winners, especially in Mexico, sometimes even on the road when they're at the MLS stadium, but usually when they're in Mexico, and I know it has to do with the altitude, but regardless, it is just heartbreaking to see. And this is the only MLS and Liga MX matchup that we had in the CCL round of 16. We're going to start to get more if the MLS sides can handle their business, which they should be able to do. But overall, Montreal, they've still got a shot. They still have a chance. They're going back to the Olympic Stadium there. Not the best field to play on. They should be able to turn that into an advantage. They're used to playing on that. They're used to playing on that pitch. They don't play on it a ton, but they've trained there. They've played there before. So I think they'll be able to use a little bit of advantage there for leg number two on February 22nd. Looking at the stats in this one, stats are as follows. Santos Laguna held possession 51-49, almost dead even. Total shots, though, 26-7 for Santos Laguna. Shots on goal, 8-2. There's your difference, guys. That is the difference. They did control the play. They looked like they were going to win more than just the 1-0 there at home. But because they've been in such bad form, they just couldn't shake it. And Sebastian Breza, the goalkeeper for Montreal, absolutely stood on his head. A great, great game from Breza. 7 saves in this matchup. A great, great game from him. Raising some eyebrows, the Canadian men's national team is possibly a successor to Milian Borjan. Looking at some of the other stats, total passes 404, 403. It doesn't get any more even than that. Well, it does by one pass, but you catch my drift. Passing accuracy 79.7% for Santos, 77% for Montreal. Corners 16-1. 16-1. When you look at some of these stats and the fact that Montreal had that goal taken away, this doesn't seem like a horrid result when you're looking at these stats the way they were. Duels won, Montreal 64-50. And my God, the clearance is 27-7. This was a domination by Santos. But that's what we expect as MLS fans, especially when you have a mediocre team like Montreal. They're not that good, everybody. I know that some people are high on them, but Montreal is not that great of a team. They do have a decent defense, as was shown by this result. And a good goalkeeper, good young Canadian goalkeeper, and good young Canadian defense. But they need a lot of help. They really do. Romel Quioto, although I love him and he's a hell of a player, he's probably not the answer if you want to compete for a CONCACAF Champions League and or an MLS Cup. 2-1 for Montreal. And then, of course, you can see the shot map here on the screen. Way more shots from Santos than from Montreal. But overall, decent result for Montreal. They head back. Maybe they've got a shot. Maybe they can pull off the upset here over Santos Laguna. I don't think it's going to happen. Personally, I picked Santos to win the tie. But you never know. You never know. All right, moving to the next game. Guastatoya. Against Club León of Mexico. This was a beatdown for Club León. Fernandez and Hernandez with the 2 goals for León. One, an absolute golazo. Go watch the replays of that one. Guastatoya had no business in this match. Even though it was at home for them in the Estadio Nacional Mateo Flores. Club León's just too strong. Too strong for this team, no doubt about it. Looking at the stats here, possession 70-30. Total shots 15-7. Shots on goal 5-2. Total passes 747 passes to 304. This was all Club León. It could have been more. Guastatoya had literally had maybe one decent chance in this game, maybe two. But overall, it was a great, great game by Lyon, and they probably could have packed on some more, but it doesn't matter. They're going back to Mexico now. They've got a two-goal lead with those two away goals. Guastatoya ain't scoring two goals in Lyon Stadium. It's not happening. So this tie over as well. I won't be live for this one either. All right. Some of the other stats here. You've got the clearances, 14 for Guastatoya, 9 for Lyon. Other than that, fairly even stuff. The corners, 2 apiece. Passing accuracy, though, 93% passing accuracy by Lyon. That is a team that is in good form against a team that is not that good. Right there. That's what that shows. So big win there for Lyon. They're pretty much through to the next round of the tournament. All right, so we've got 4 games left to talk about. Big shout out to our sponsors of this new weekly recap segment, Skira, Icelandic spring water. Go find it at 7-Eleven. Any 7-Eleven in the United States, you can find Skira. This water is awesome. I drink it all the time. I absolutely love it. You guys have seen me back in old live stream reactions. We are still sponsored by Skira. They've been with us for a very long time. Go get some Skira Icelandic water, guys. I'm telling you. And big shout out to John Donovan. Thank you, sir, for your amazing support and your sponsorship of our program. Means a lot to myself, my business, and the growth of the sport of soccer here in the United States of America and North America. So, all right, next up, Forge and Cruz Azul. Look at Forge, man, hanging in there against Cruz Azul. This is a CPL team. This isn't an MLS team. Forge, although they're a very good CPL team, and they could probably hang with Montreal and Vancouver and sometimes Toronto. A good result for them. Even though they were at home and they lost to Cruz Azul, Cruz Azul is a damn good team. Now, Cruz Azul did bring in their, it was kind of their second string. They had a few first-teamers out there, and then mostly all second-string type guys. But, you look at these lineups, you probably can't see them. It's a little bit too small there. But, they had Jimenez in there. He plays a lot for Cruz Azul. Otero, the goal scorer, he plays a lot as well. Lira, Rivero, Mayorga, Dominguez. These guys all play a lot of minutes in Liga MX. Now, the rest of them, they're backups and whatnot, but still a good result for Forge against a very strong Mexican side in Cruz Azul. I'm impressed by it. Now, they got to go down to Mexico City and play at the Azteca. I don't think it's going to end up very well for Forge. But you know what? It's going to be fun. You never know. Forge could surprise, get an away goal. That would be a lot of fun. Looking at the stats, Cruz Azul 58% possession to 42. Total shots 8-5. Shots on goal 2 for Cruz Azul, 0 for Forge. That's the problem. No shots on goal. They didn't make Gerardo do anything in goal for Cruz Azul. Total passes 477 to 343 for Cruz Azul. And the corners 10-4. So it was definitely a domination by Cruz Azul. But the result is still it's not final yet. It's still in doubt. You could, Forge might be able to pull something crazy off. Okay, maybe, probably not. But hey, you know what? I can at least dream a little bit, right? I'm rooting for the CPL squad. Canadian soccer has been on a huge upward trajectory lately, and this has done nothing but help them. Just showing that Canada's catching up to Mexico, man. They're coming. Not right now, not in 5 years. But probably in about 10 years, at least, well, maybe CPL and League MX longer than that. But Canada and Mexico on the national team level, different story. You know how that is. I think Canada's right there about to catch Mexico, if not have already overpassed them. All right, so speaking of this match, you know what? I'm only doing one live for next week because I'm going to be doing 4 of the MLS games. But this is the game I'm doing. I'm going to be doing the Cruz Azul Forge matchup. Can't wait for this game. At the Azteca, it's going to be fun to see Forge playing against Cruz Azul and going to that historic, amazing building. So definitely want to be a part of that. We'll be live. Make sure you're with us Wednesday night, the 24th there. I believe it is at 7:30 Central Standard Time is the time for that one. But it's going to be a lot of fun. All right. Now, moving along to the next one. Saprissa and Pumas. This game was a great game. Saprissa, 2 goals by Christian Bolaños, former MLS guy, played for Vancouver, played for a couple other clubs. And then Pumas, Corozo, and Dedeno with the goals for Pumas. Two away goals for Pumas. They're in good shape heading back to Mexico on the 23rd. But this was a great game. Lots of big-time chances. Lots of big-time saves. A lot of fun. Bofo Saucedo, my man, Bofo. If you ever heard the first episode of our podcast way back in the day, there's a great segment between Nick and I about Bofo Saucedo. He picks up a yellow in the 34th minute for time-wasting. Are you kidding me? Time-wasting in the 34th minute of a first leg? What are you doing, Bofo? Come on. That doesn't matter. But 2-2 overall is the final. Two away goals for Pumas. Important possession. 51.6 to 48.4 for Saprissa, which is a surprise. Total shots 14 apiece. Shots on goal 6 for Saprissa, 4 for Pumas. Saprissa actually should have had 3 goals. They got robbed. Absolutely robbed on what should have been a sure time goal, but it wasn't. Total passes 407 Saprissa, 373 for Pumas. Passing accuracy of 74 and 72% respectively. 4 corners for Pumas, 0 for Saprissa. 2 offsides apiece. Duels won 57 for Saprissa, 42 for Pumas. This was a great game, and this is if I wasn't such an MLS guy and so fired up for MLS, I might actually do this game for the second leg, because I think it's going to be a hell of a matchup and a hell of a game, but I'm not doing it. Only doing one this week. So there's your result there. Definitely setting up a great second leg there at Pumas on the 23rd. Now, the games from Thursday. Comunicaciones 1, Colorado Rapids 0. Very disappointing game from the Rapids. I had money on them in the parlay. Isaiah let me know that there was 7 guys out for Comunicaciones. It was after I put the bet down, so, you know, it's all good. But, dude, how did Colorado not manage to get a shot on goal? How did Colorado not manage to get the victory here at Comunicaciones? These are games that MLS teams have to win. If we want to catch up to Liga MX, if we want to be in that conversation, we got to do what the Liga MX sides do. They go on the first round, the round of 16, they win those away legs every damn time outside of Saprissa and Pumas, but they still had 2 away goals. Colorado didn't even have an away goal. Very disappointing game for Colorado. Late winner by Espino in the 89th minute for Comunicaciones. A great, great goal on a free kick. Beautiful layoff straight off the training ground, man. It was gorgeous. And then just blasted it past Yarborough. And, you know, this was pretty much a full-strength side for the Rapids. Yarborough in goal, Rosenberry, Lalas, Abubakar, Wilson, Trusty, and Estevez. Colin Warner, my God, how is Colin Warner still in this league? Jack Price, Marc-Anthony Kay, Diego Rubio, and Jonathan Lewis. Decent side there for Colorado. You got to be able to beat a team like Comunicaciones, period. You got to be able to get it done. And they didn't. Now, they've got their work cut out for them in the second leg. They're going to be at home. So, back at Dick's Sporting Goods Park, it's going to be cold. Comunicaciones isn't going to be happy being there. That's for sure. Colorado's got to get it done. They didn't get that away goal, so they can't give anything up. The defense is pretty solid. Outside of that one goal, which was a great shot from distance, they did well defensively. So hopefully they can pull it off. We're pulling for Colorado. They need to move on. Come on, Colorado Rapids. Get it done. All right, so possession 51-49. Total shots 14-9 Comunicaciones. Shots on goal 2 to, as I mentioned, 0 for Colorado. Total passes 465-427. Fairly even. Corners 7-2 for Comunicaciones. And the saves, only 1 save for Yarborough. 0 saves for the keeper from Comunicaciones because they couldn't even get the damn ball in the net. I understand it's the first game. I understand that. It's been preseason. This is the first competitive match. Let's hope that the second one is much better for Colorado because you don't want to see an exit by Colorado to a team like Comunicaciones, man. That is not what we want to see from an MLS perspective. So, come on, Rapids. Get it done. We're pulling for you. All right, moving on to the last game of the 7 because, again, game number 8, Cavalli against New England. New England essentially got a bye into the quarterfinals because Cavalli couldn't figure out their visa issues, so they had to forfeit out of the tournament. So, New England Revolutions, congratulations. You got the win, and you still haven't played a game yet. Very nice. Very nice, Bruce Arena and company. All right, Motagua and Seattle, 0-0 draw. We were live for this one. A lot of fun. Lots of fun. Picked up a lot of new fans, a lot of new subscribers during that game. And look, if you haven't hit that subscribe button yet, guys, get on it. This is the place to be for everything MLS, for everything CCL, for everything CONCACAF, right here at Sons of a Pitch Soccer Central. Seattle could not break down that Motagua defense. Seattle didn't look great either. Let's be serious. They did not look that good. They didn't look in sync. You could tell this was their first game. Possession, 55-45 for Seattle. Total shots, 11-6 Motagua, 4-1 shots on goal. Watching this game, Motagua was the better side. Motagua was a better team than Seattle, and that's disappointing for a team who is expected to challenge for an MLS Cup this season. But again, we come back around to this. It's technically the preseason. We haven't played any games yet. So, this being the first one, we'll give you a little bit of a... We'll give you the pass on this one, Seattle. But Ruznak had a couple decent chances. Looked decent in the midfield, but not great. But I expect Seattle to do better. And when they go to Lumen Field, Royal Broham Park, I expect them to lay the smack down on Motagua. Maybe not lay the smack down on them, but maybe win, you know, 2-0. 2-0 or something. That's what I'm thinking. All right, so that's all the games. I mean, looking at some of the other stats, 5-2 corners for Motagua. Duels won, 39-36 Motagua. Clearances, 17-13 more clearances for Seattle. It was a Motagua game. So Seattle not giving anything up is definitely a positive. Now they can't give up any away goals in that second leg in Seattle. All right, so that does it for all of the games that we're going to recap. Here is my schedule for MLS is back opening weekend. First up, the first game, thanks to Mr. Ramon Poblano, keeping me busy, my man. LAFC and the Colorado Rapids will be live for that one on Saturday. Can't wait to see if LAFC can bounce back from that disappointing season last season, now with Steve Cherundolo in charge. The second game that we'll be doing live, of course, because I'm a homer, FC Dallas against Toronto FC. I'm really excited to see FC Dallas with Paul Arriola, with Alan Velasco, some of the other moves that Dallas made. I'm excited to watch them play. And Toronto FC, I want to see what this team looks like right out of the bat. I think the first few months are going to be very important for Toronto FC. I'm excited for this game big time. Now, moving on to Sunday. LA Galaxy, New York City Football Club. This is probably the matchup of the weekend as far as the two teams, you know, for TV, you know, TV rights and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be a great game. Lots of viewers, I'm sure. Can't wait for this matchup. New York City, if they look as dominant as they did against Santos de Guadalupe in the first leg, I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be able to beat the Galaxy, but I'll be bringing my picks and predictions video out probably tomorrow. You'll see that drop because this is being released on Monday, and then we'll have the picks and predictions on Tuesday. Now, lastly, the last game is Seattle Sounders against Nashville SC. Another great, great matchup in MLS. Lots of great matchups this weekend. We're going to be live. Make sure you're joining with us. It's going to be a lot of fun, guys, hanging out with all of you guys during these live stream reactions. Lots and lots of fun. So book your calendars, guys. It's going to be great. And with that being said, if I don't do any of those games, don't be mad. I might not be able to get away with doing four episodes or four lives on the weekend. I might not be able to get it. It's opening weekend, so I can say, but babe, it's opening weekend, but you might be a little mad about it. I might have to cancel one or two. So that's the plan as of right now. We're at 25 minutes. Big shout out again to our sponsor, Skira Icelandic Spring Water. And go get it, your local 7-Eleven. John Donovan will have a piece on the regular podcast episode as far as on the podcast, the podcatcher itself, about the Chicago Fire. So if you're a Fire fan, make sure you download that podcast episode of this video for his piece at the end. All right, guys, thanks for watching. We'll see you tomorrow with my picks and predictions. Have a good one. This MLS Weekly Recap is sponsored by Skira Icelandic spring water, available at your local 7-Eleven. Icelandic for clear, Skira water comes from a spring in a nature preserve in Iceland with naturally low mineral content. This isn't your average water. Clearly, yes, pun intended, it's one of the best. Get some Skira today at your local 7-Eleven. And now it's time for our weekly Chicago Fire update, brought to you by John Donovan. Take it away, John.
Mike, John Donovan here, covering the MLS and the Chicago Fire. Gosh, Mike, it's about that time of the year that the games will start being played. I am personally going down to Miami for this game in Fort Lauderdale. I'm really looking forward to this season. New coach, some new players, hopefully new attitude. Fire just made a recent trade that I think was better than even the Shakira trade. So we have a lot to talk about tonight, Mike. With back to the Shakira trade, I'm really wondering who won and who lost in this trade. Chicago Fire definitely needed somebody to come in and ignite this the fans. But you would think that the press would have picked up a little bit on Shakira, and I personally have not seen a word written in the two newspapers that I read. So hopefully Shakira and his history of being a great player will affect the Chicago crowd. I looked into quite a bit about Shakira, and you know, I listened to an ESPN European version of a podcast, and it really was perhaps a little bit enlightening. Apparently Shakira, you know, in 2018, he was lights out, one of the best players in the world. And since then, he hasn't exactly stoked the fire over in Europe. But we're talking about European top-notch, top-league players. The MLS is not on that level. So in the podcast, the folks that were talking had said that they couldn't believe that the Fire had to pay a dime for Shakira, that Lyon would have just given him away because he had hardly played. I think in 23 games, he had appeared 9 times, minimal appearances. You know, looking back at his injuries, he's had 210 days of injuries in the last 2 years. So will he work long-term, the 3-year contract for the Fire? I don't know. I mean, the competition won't be as bad or as hard, but his legs are something to wonder about. All of his injuries have been muscle pulls and ankles and everything lower extremity. So we will have to see. His English is excellent. All these Swiss players, I think he's from Albania, but grew up in Switzerland, and they all speak multiple languages well. So we will get the advantage of him being able to talk to us in the on the press and so forth. But you know, I started fooling around with the lineups, and just to see where I thought Ezra Hendrickson might go with his lineup. And I initially had Shabilko, obviously, up front, Gutierrez, Shakira, that they say they're going to pay him as a number 10. Don't know whether that'll stay that way, in Ivanov, as Gutierrez and Ivanov as wings. And then underneath that would be Jimenez and Navarro from Argentina. I think it's Federico Navarro. And then in the back, Navarro on the left side, which I think is a mistake, Turan, Rafael, Sejnos, and Sekulic. Well, the last lineup, they won a game. Finally, they scored a goal against an MLS team during this preseason. And it really kind of, Ezra put in the defensive midfield. I was so glad to see Mauricio Pineda in there with Gaston Jimenez. I think people expected the Navarro from Argentina to be in that position, but I'm really happy to see every time an American plays in the MLS, I feel good about it. The team is dominated by South American and European players, but we are starting to see some homegrowns in Brian Gutierrez, The goalie, Slonina, Pineda. So we have three Americans on the starting side of the fire. But what it looks like, Ezra's starting two forwards. He's got Carlos Turan and Shabilko up front. Then in the midfield, he probably has Navarro, Pineda, Gaston Jimenez, and Brian Gutierrez, and he started Fabian Herbert. So we've got kind of a different situation. It looks like he's going to start a 2-3 and then a 4 and a 1 maybe. I'm very anxious to see who starts for the Fire this coming year. I've marked down three big questions about this coming year. And one starts out with, why did he keep Jimenez? He's a $2 million player that did a job on the team last year. I think he was personally responsible for Aliceda leaving. I mean, they missed that plane last year. Apparently, he's a very immature 28-year-old that a lot of the press say, you know, they were very surprised that Hines kept him. But let's see. We'll give him a chance this year. But a lot of people are saying that he will be gone by midseason, which makes sense. I mean, they've got the Navarro from Argentina that plays his same position. So I want to see Pineda. I'd love to see a little bit more of the homegrowns out there playing. The second point, other than Jimenez, is the Fire did go out and finally found a Mexican young star that's playing for Atlas, Jairo Torres. Now, I've watched Jairo play as much as I could on YouTube and other press clippings, and this kid is a shooting machine. It'll be interesting to see. You know, we've got virtually two young guys that are forward attacking players in Torres and Duran. Shabilko is there. I've watched Shabilko play, Casper Shabilko play for many years for Philadelphia, at least three. Philadelphia being one of my favorite squads. And he's the type of player, he's 6'4". It doesn't make much of a difference in soccer if you're 6'4 or Pelé, 5'6". If you score, you score. I never one that thought that height made any much or that much of a difference as a forward. But Shabilko's a guy that needs service. And Philadelphia had guys that gave him service. I think he scored 12 goals last year, but he's scored. He's always around the box. He's not a guy that dribbles a lot. He's a shooter in the box. Now, Jairo Torres is a lethal right, left, doesn't make any difference, head, body, he will score. I watched him play, and even 30, 40 yards out, he's a shooter. So it's going to be kind of fun to watch when Shabilko kind of steps down and Duran from Colombia takes that position to watch these two guys play because they are good. You know, if they can stay away from yellow cards, Duran, I think he played in 20 games last year and had 14 yellow cards. So Ezra's going to have to calm down some of these players, but that should be an exciting. It'll be something new to Chicago to have two guys that can score. Now, underneath them, Ezra started Brian Gutierrez and Fabian Herbers, which Herbers, to me, I would love to see him coming off the bench, but he's a great technical, quick, very in-shape player that could go the whole 90 minutes. I mean, he was an amazing athlete last year. He was the one guy that could play virtually every position. And I want to see Brian Gutierrez get a shot. You know, we've got a lot of homegrowns. I'm going to read off the names of all these homegrowns, but Gutierrez had, you know, a fairly decent season for him going last year. Then he hurt himself, his ankle, and it took him at least a minimum of 5 weeks to come back from that ankle injury. So cross your fingers that he's going to stick together. On the backside, I worry about Miguel Navarro, Venezuelan guy. He's short. He gets overwhelmed by bigger, tougher players out there. I would prefer to see him playing a midfield position. He's a lefty. He's quick. He's a good crosser. But when it's down and dirty, like the Miami or the New England game last year, they just go right at that left side. And he gives up goals. He's a mistake-prone guy, or he has been. This is his third year of a contract. I believe he's a young DP. So he either makes it this year or he's going back to Venezuela. In the middle, we obviously have Rafael Sejnov. He apparently, I mean, they haven't had many goals scored against them in preseason, I think one. So replacing Calvo was something that was very necessary. He's a smart German. Again, language is no problem. He speaks English very well. And then the other guy, tremendous talent, but you wonder where his mind is sometime, Terran from Colombia. The guy's got an arm. He should be a center fielder for the Cubs because he can throw the ball. All of his side throw-ins are like crosses. He's big. He's got a lot of talent. But again, he's a red card ready to go. Ezra should sit him and Navarro down and say, guys, you do not go near the referee, period. Any beef with the referee, let Bornstein or one of the captains handle it. But he seemed to just want to get his 2 cents in on every play last year. So Terran, play the game, stay smart during the game, and I think you'll have a good season. And then finally, Sekulic. And I watched him play last year, and I couldn't believe they ever took him off the field. The guy is lethal with his crosses. Defense might be a little bit of a question mark, especially when he's on the same side as Terran. But if he can pick up that defense, his offensive skills are there. The guy is very good. And then obviously our goalie situation is about as good as anybody's got in the league. Slonina. Question is, I've heard that Manchester United even called about this young man. So, you know, I'd hate to see him go, but I guess that's the world of the MLS. Your kid comes in, but he's only 18 years old. But he can travel at that age. And, you know, some of these guys get purchased and loaned out. You'd almost hope that with the league improving, that if he does get purchased and he gets loaned out, he'd be back to the fire. But that's complications that are way above my head. So on the bench, are the homegrowns are the guys that I'm so interested in. The guy, you know, the only seat are suit up about 18 guys. Bezerra is one of those guys from Indiana. He was a center forward in Indiana. I believe he's going to make the squad. Let's go. Casas, a forward. He hasn't gotten much of a chance. I'd like to see him get some opportunities. Brian Gutierrez, I believe, will start this coming Saturday. Alex Munoz, a boy from, I believe he's from Bolingbrook. He has not gotten much of a chance yet this year. Andre Reynolds, a left side fullback. And, you know, he's got some size to him. He's 5'8". I think he's about 160 pounds, which is heavy for a soccer player. He played last year, I believe, for the Indy squad, and he did well. And we hurt back there on that left side with Navarro. Bornstein is good, but he's 37 years old or 38 years old, so how much can you use him? The game in the last preseason game, they used Navarro back there. I'd love to see Andre Reynolds get a shot in that position. He seemed a bit slow when I saw him play last time. So let's hope that, you know, some of these homegrowns, that's our future, is those homegrowns. That's what Philadelphia has done. That's what Dallas has done. Sprinkle in some Europeans or some South American talent, but bring up our homegrowns, guys. So, Mike, I know I've gone over a little bit, but I'm very excited about this season. I wasn't initially for Ezra. I was really for Antti Raasov because of his success in Chicago previously, but I'm 100% behind Ezra. I'm hoping that this squad has something that ignites Chicago. I think this Jairo Torres will be a superstar with the league. I watch him play. He's got the whole game. He's lightning quick. He shoots. I think of all the trades that the Chicago Fire have done this year, he's the guy, even above Shaqiri, that could ignite this city. So, Mike, have a good day. Sorry I'm a little bit over, but that's it. Take care, Mike.
Thanks for that Chicago Fire update, John. We'll talk to you next week.